Former Goldman Sachs director Rajat Gupta has been indicted on 6 counts of securities fraud. He becomes the most prominent executive arrested in a multi-year investigation into what prosecutors claim is the biggest insider trading case in history. At his arraignment, Gupta pleaded not guilty. Joining me now is Joe Nocera, a columnist for The New York Times and a contributor to WNYC. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Sirius.
So first off, who is Gupta? How much of an insider is he?
Oh, he definitely qualifies as an insider. He is the former head of McKinsey & Company, which is one of the premier consulting firms in the world. When he resigned from McKinsey in 2003, he began joining corporate boards. One of the boards he joined was the board of Goldman Sachs. And all the accusations in this case revolve around tips that he allegedly gave to Rajaratnam, who has, of course, is about to go to jail, from his board seat at Goldman Sachs.
What exactly is the case against Gupta?
Well, the case basically is built around what the government says is a series of phone calls that he made to Rajaratnam, you know, in one case, literally seconds after a board meeting to tell the hedge fund manager what their earnings were going to be, what their second quarter earnings would be, which is classic inside information. Now, the problem the government's going to have with this case is that the phone calls in question for which he has been charged are not on tape. As you may recall, in the case against Rajaratnam, the evidence was ironclad because they had wiretapped phone calls. It does not appear in this case that they had those actual calls are on wiretap. So it's mostly a case built around circumstantial evidence, though I have to say the circumstantial evidence is pretty darn strong.
Hmm. Is there any connection between this case and what which happened during the financial crisis and the actual crisis itself?
There really isn't. The financial crisis is a thing unto itself. Insider trading has been going on long before there was a financial crisis, and sadly, it'll probably be going on long after the financial crisis, where it does fit in to the kind of modern anger that many people feel towards Wall Street, is the sense that the insiders have rigged the game, that, you know, that they make money at the expense of everybody else, and so on and so forth. And one of the reasons the government has been so fierce about going after insider trading is for this exact same reason. If people lose confidence in the markets, if they don't think there's an even playing field, then they'll stop investing. And you know, the markets, our markets, our country depends on investors.
And of course, a lot of time and energy have been spent on this insider trading investigation, resulting in dozens of guilty verdicts. Do you think it'll change how Wall Street operates?
I wish I could say the answer to that was yes, Sotirios, but I think what happens in these kind of cases is that when there's a big case like this, insider trading kind of goes away for a while. People are scared. And then when the government moves on to other things, it comes back. Insider trading is has been with us forever, and it's just so tempting for people to do that it's never stopped. What's weird about it, I mean, this case is a real obvious case of insider trading, but there are so many cases that are obscure where the government finally gets the bad guys, so to speak, and you sort of wonder why people do it, because it does seem like almost everybody gets caught.
All right, well, we'll see how this case turns out. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Sotirios. Appreciate it.
Joe Nocera is an op-ed columnist for The New York Times. You're listening to Morning Edition on WNYC.